Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you, I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hi, this is Howes, New York, with real estate attorney Robert Howe. We're going to be recapping the top stories from Brooklyn in real estate in June in just a moment. We're going to be joined by Bob, so just stay tuned. Hi, sorry everybody. We had some technical difficulties there, but it looks like we're back on, and I think we have Bob on the line. Bob, can you hear me?
We do have we're all on the line, hopefully.
Yes, we are.
And ready to.
Sorry about that, folks. It's the joys of live radio. But you are listening to House New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. And we were going to go over the big June news stories in Brooklyn. And Bob, I think that since we had a little bit of a mishap, we'll just get right into it.
It was a busy month in June, all positive real estate news, wanting everybody to run out and invest in something and double and triple their money. Although we have to add the caution that prior results do not guarantee future, results either. But having said that, you, Jason, you had researched an article about a Brownstone Bedford Stuyvesant, and tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll comment on it.
Well, this is just another issue of is this an outlier or is this the new normal for Brooklyn? And in Bedford Stuyvesant, there was a real estate financier, and he bought a historic building in Bedford Stuyvesant back in February for about $1.2 million. And in less than 90 days' time, less than 3 months, which is the I guess the average for closing on any new home or property in New York, he flipped that home after very minimal renovation. According to the story, less than $5,000 renovation, and he sold that property, that same property, for $2.1 million. So he almost doubled his money in less than 3 months' time, and that's pretty stunning. Is that the new normal, or is that something that's a real serious aberration?
Well, I think these kind of stories want to make people rush out and plunk down some money and think they're going to get rich overnight. But to be honest, there are a lot of moving parts to this story which really haven't been brought to light. Really, I'm looking at the photographs that were published in the Daily News on June 10th. And this is an immaculate-looking building inside. I mean, the woodwork, the floors, a chandelier. I don't know if that cost $5,000 itself, but, you know, the pictures that they do show are really stunning pictures, all original mahogany-type molding and fancy scroll work. It's really gorgeous pictures, but to ask yourself, who are the people that maybe sold this under market value? If, you know, typically people who make huge profits may be either incredibly lucky or may have had an uninformed buyer on the other side, uninformed seller. And I'm wondering if there was a broker on this deal and what the sellers are saying now that they see, you know, this article in the newspaper. And I do want to caution, these type of deals are really not for the faint of heart. You know, they, first of all, it requires $1 million to buy the house. There are expenses going in, expenses going out. Sure, they don't total $1 million. But for the average investor who thinks they're going to make $1 million on a single transaction, that's few and far between. Maybe you can make, you know, a more modest $100,000 turnaround. But by the time you pay transfer taxes, broker's commission, legal fees, title stuff, you know, that whittles away. And then after you walk away with your net, Uncle Sam is there to take their chunk of capital gains, maybe at a 15 or 20% rate. So, you know, this article really isn't telling you all the facts of this transaction. And, you know, we do have, not to plug tomorrow night's show, but I hope this investor who made this $1 million is using a 1031 company, hopefully NYDEC 1031 exchange, who we're going to interview tomorrow night, how to shelter your capital gains from the government. But this is a wonderful story. I don't think it's the norm. If it was the norm, I wouldn't be on this radio show with you right now. I'd be out driving up and down Bedford Stuyvesant.
Your case of pledge wood polish.
There was a lot of pledge to brush up the wood in
your $5,000 renovation.
Yes, and then let's see, one other thing I wanted to comment on about the sale is that there were tenants, and they were paid $5,000 to leave, and they, too, probably didn't receive great counseling. They saw the $5,000 and dollar signs opened up in their eyes when really they might have consulted with their attorney to see whether or not they're surrendering their apartment may have been worth a few more dollars.
Well, I mean, I would have thrown them $5,000 too if I could turn $1 million profit in less than 3 months' time. And that brings my other question. The most glaring question to me when I'm reading this is flipping a property like that in New York in such a short amount of time, is there any other extraordinary tax ramifications involved here? I know, you know, I've heard of flip tax when you flip a property in under a year. Is that something that comes to bear here?
Well, actually, to be 100% correct, flip tax really is used in the cooperative apartment sales arena. Flip tax, when a seller sells their apartment and the co-op says, hey, leave some money behind, you know, for the capital fund or operating expenses. But people do use the term flip in the real estate market when they buy a house for $1 million and sell it for $2 million. They are flipping that house in a relatively short period of time. There is no flip tax, but there is a capital gains tax, which could be 15 or 20%. So it could be a very high number. The way to get around that tax on the profit you made in the flip is to do a 1031 exchange and shield some of that. And that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow.
Okay, good to know. So we'll be learning about the 1031s tomorrow night on our show. But still, nonetheless, a fascinating story. And if you've got the money and you're a savvy real estate investor, there could be some real, real big gains to be had in Brownstone, Brooklyn, and maybe in other parts of Brooklyn, as we'll touch on later on in the show.
The key is to find the next hot neighborhood and get in there before the developers. And you would look for an area where you see hipsters and Converse sneakers and, you know, hats and, you know, fedoras. What do they say? That's the hearkening of, you know, a revival, you know, in that area. And let's talk about a revival for a second. Not all people agree that revival is a great thing. Sure, it gives some people some profits and probably upgrades the neighborhood, but people who have lived there for 50 years through the good and the bad, you know, now are probably being displaced by either high rents or people who buy their building and are giving them a chunk of money to get out. So there is some, you know, debate about gentrification and who it's good for. So, that, you know, we could talk about that topic on another, you know, occasion.
Well, with that in mind, since you're bringing up hot neighborhoods, maybe we should move into one of our other stories that we have for later in the show, but I'll bump it up now, is Bay Ridge. Bay Ridge is, again, we're seeing in the news, is, you know, it's our own backyard, our beloved Bay Ridge. And again, we're seeing from businessinsider.com that this is a legitimate hot neighborhood, and it's not just a hot neighborhood for people looking to maybe find some more of suburbia in Brooklyn, you know, something that may be dying off, but maybe even young city professionals, you know, people are always saddling Bay Ridge with that the negative that it's so far of a commute, but now we're seeing that city professionals are actually flocking to Bay Ridge, and, you know, that's the young hipster crowd. What do you think about Bay Ridge becoming the new it destination for people commuting into the city?
Well, I guess, you know, once you get over that commute issue, and we're not talking about like it's 2 days by horse and carriage into the city. We're talking about jumping on the R train. Of course, it's not the speediest train, you know, around, and maybe getting into the city in 45 minutes or so. And, you know, cabs do drive out this way, and we do have highways that get people out here. So, I mean, my position with the commute is that you have the best of both worlds. Within a half hour to 45 minutes, you can get into the city, enjoy some of the cultural things that they have to offer, and then come back to the Bay Ridge, which both has culture, a lot of cultural things to offer, and be in a kind of suburban-y type of setting where small stores, business owners who live in the neighborhood know your name, and you know you're not clicking on Amazon.com to get something. You're walking up and saying hello to the store owner, and they're ringing a register the old-fashioned way. So I see the long, I shouldn't say the long commute, the commute as, you know, an added benefit. I mean, really, think about it. People, you know, I often say, people say, oh, I love to live in Williamsburg. It's one stop on the, what is it, the L train maybe that goes there. But then I say, well, yeah, but if you wanted to live in the city, why don't you just, and it's a easy commute to the city. Why don't you just live in the city? Why do you have to be one subway stop? You know, Bay Ridge may be 15 or 20 subway stops, but, you know, you end up in a suburban-style small-town community. You have parks. You have waterfront. You have small stores. Housing prices and co-ops are half, if not even less, than prices you know, around the city in the hot areas. You can buy a co-op, huge co-op for $300,000-$500,000 in Bay Ridge, comparable size co-ops in a Williams, talking about one point something or other. And, you know, so if you say, oh, it's such a short commute into the city, why don't you just live in the city? It's probably even a touch cheaper than living in some of the new developments that you're seeing in the Williamsburg, Dumbo, Greenpoint areas that and Long Island cities that people say are so hot, and I love it because it's one stop into the city. Well, live in the city if it's so hot for you.
That could be a good point.
Yes.
And we also see that they refer to Bay Ridge as, you know, one of the last vestiges of old Brooklyn, and they even refer to it as at one time being called the Gold Coast. And when you hear Gold Coast, you think of, you know, maybe out Long Island, you know, where all the big beachfront mansions were at one time. And, you know, why would they use the Gold Coast to refer to Bay Ridge?
Well, if you go back, Bay Ridge, you know, more than 100 years ago was a resort area. And along Shore Road, rather than apartment buildings and co-ops, they had beach clubs. And some of these, you know, were huge buildings where people would come down and socialize and then maybe swim in the Narrows. This is long before we got the Bell Parkway, which kind of cut off water access to everybody. But in any event, Bay Ridge was a resort area, and all along Shore Road were types of properties that you might see that are still existing maybe in some places along the Jersey Shore, some of the older towns in New Jersey that have big hotels, you know, right on the waterfront. So, you know, Bay Ridge was, you know, a resort area, you know, at one time.
So we know that Brooklyn is a trendy destination, and we've known that for quite some time, and it attracts all kinds of people, including famous people from all walks of life, and that also includes Hollywood celebrities. I mean, people don't really think of New York as a place that Hollywood celebrities would call home, but it's becoming more and more the case, and, you know, with the world getting smaller and smaller, people in that field can have homes here, and then they can just, you know, fly out and do their shows and films when their projects arise. But if famously Brooklyn was home to Heath Ledger before he passed away, and he was an Oscar winner recently, and now we're seeing some stories in the New York Times from Oscar nominee Michael Shannon, who's in a play, a limited run play in New York. And he, according to him, even though he says in the article that he doesn't like big cities and he's from Chicago, he finds his home in right near Fairways in Red Hook to be quite relaxing. What do you think about Brooklyn as this destination for all these celebrities?
Well, you know, Red Hook was at one time the Bay Ridge of Brooklyn. There, a lot of people migrated out of Red Hook after public housing was put in there during the LaGuardia years. And really, but for the factories obscuring the waterfront, it is, if you can get down to the waterfront, there is a billion-dollar view of the harbor, Manhattan, the Statue of Liberty. And where Michael Shannon is, he actually lives over Fairway there. The main floor of Fairway is obviously the supermarket, but above it are condos. And these are condos that really look like the warehouses, you know, more than 100 years ago. Very charming. Huge ceilings, probably concreted all over the place. And, you know, it's just a very massive structure and a billion dollar view. And I guess you just got to go downstairs to get Fairway and you have your meal for the evening. It's, you know, sort of.
Yeah, and if you want to enjoy that view and don't want to have to buy an apartment, you can just go to Fairway, and a great spot is their outside eating area. You can go grab lunch at Fairway for while you're shopping, and you go and sit and enjoy that view. And I think even a water taxi might even be stopping there now.
If you want to get to Manhattan, or the Manhattanites are coming over by water taxi. Mm-hmm. To there and to IKEA, and no one really complains of, you know, Red Hook now is pretty inaccessible because the only way in there is either a car or by a bus. Bay Ridge, you know, getting back to transportation issues, does have a train, an R train that goes right through the heart of Bay Ridge, so as well as express buses and buses. But to get to Red Hook is really, you have to pick your way to get into the community, but it has a billion-dollar location.
So now that we've identified the fact that, you know, even celebrities want to live here in Brooklyn, let's address a story that was on CBS New York, their website, about the real growth that's in Brooklyn right now. And you know, according to the story, it was once, the borough was one, we were once the butt of jokes, and now we're being seen as one of the largest growths in New York is in Brooklyn. And the opportunities that we touched on earlier with young hipster urban professionals calling Brooklyn home and commuting to work in the city and also now working in Brooklyn. But not just the professionals. It seems that they're destination properties in Brooklyn now.
Part of it is developers out of Manhattan looking for areas in close proximity to the city to start developing. The recognition that Brooklyn has cultural, sporting, recreational areas, and really a beautiful location. And you know, whereas 20 years ago you said to someone, "I'm from Brooklyn," they probably took a step back, thinking you were going to punch them, knife them, mug them, do something horrible to them.
Well, according to Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, that's what he says about McCarran Park. His people who committed crimes used to run through here and hide.
Well, actually, and yes, throughout Brooklyn, I used to represent a few people that lived in a variety of communities that committed a lot of crimes. But now, you know, these are up-and-coming neighborhoods, and Brooklyn is such a hot trademark name that it just conveys something about energy and vitality and upswing and coolness and hipsterness that, you know, no amount, you couldn't plan to market this type of thing. This just sort of happened organically from the ground up as people came over to Brooklyn and said, "Hey, you know, it's pretty nice over here. You know, it's not what I what I expected it to be." So the myth about Brooklyn really probably held down the development or the interest in Brooklyn for a while. But as people started to discover this, they said, "Hey, these are great communities. Some very mixed ethnic communities. Great shopping. You know, mass transportation, access by highways. You know, it's got everything. And now, with its own sports team, the Nets, and probably a hockey team in another year. Baseball out in Coney Island. You always hear about revitalization, rejuvenation, upswing. You don't hear about neighborhoods in decline.
That's true.
Industry, business, young people coming here to work, and probably, you know, if you want to get a sense of the vitality of the borough, you can sit at the red light on 4th Avenue and Union Street watching everybody cycle down that street to, I don't know where they're going, but they do cycle down and cross, you know, in waves of bicycles, and I guess some go over the Brooklyn Bridge, some probably maybe go into Red Hook or, you know, Sunset Park or along Gowanus, which is now hot. But there is a real sense of vitality, and vitality is contagious. Everybody wants to be in on it, and, of course, you can't get in on it after it's been hot already, so you look, you know, a few blocks to the left or the right, and that's where, you know, it starts creeping out from, you know, its epicenter.
Well, as far as people calling it home, according to the study, we've added at least 100,000 new residents since 2010, and, you know, businesses, we already know about the tech companies that are descending on Brooklyn, but also the new hotels are popping up and, you know, all kinds of businesses. In fact, it may surprise some, but since 2003, there's been a 20% growth in the private sector in Brooklyn, according to the CBS report.
It is incredible. And you mentioned hotels, which is an indicator of vitality, and they do their studies. You know, Marriott, Sheraton, Radisson, they just don't plop down hotels anywhere because there's a vacant lot. They're looking for some sort of transient traffic that and some businesses in the area that would attract out-of-towners, people visiting those businesses, you know, in order to put their hotel up. So, and that those hotels have been popping up all over the place. There are, say, 20 or 30 hotels in the last 10 years. And let's not forget Atlantic Avenue. They have the cruise terminal, so a lot of stuff goes out of the a lot of tourism goes out of that for the cruise ships that they have anchored there. So there's a lot going on in Brooklyn.
Well, and with that, we'll end it on a positive note and maybe cap off our examination of some of these top news stories in Brooklyn with that story, since we did, we are running along, and we did have some technical problems at the beginning, but we do have that show coming up tomorrow night on 1030 Ones, and we're going to go over what that is and find out exactly what that is, and we look forward to chatting again.
Absolutely. I think it was a good show, Jason, very positive, and bravo for Brooklyn. And this will conclude today's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. This is our monthly Brooklyn real estate update show. And this is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.